Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Before we begin, just a few quick announcements about worship. Today we begin the season of Advent leading up to Christmas. I cannot believe it's here already. So you should have a new worship booklet that says Advent on it. We'll be using this over the next few weeks as we navigate through this season of Advent in preparation for Christmas. Few announcements to highlight. Next Sunday, December 3rd, we are gathering for our congregational meeting. The congregational meeting will take place immediately following worship. We'll just navigate our way to the parish hall gym. There'll be coffee. We can get coffee. There'll be a youth bake sale. You can grab some goodies to eat, find your seat, and then we'll have hopefully a quick congregational meeting, elect some new officers, approve the budget, that sort of thing. So hope you can join us next Sunday to stay for that. After worship today, if you can stay, anyone's welcome to stay. We've got our Christmas trees set up, but they're a little bare, so we've got some ornaments to decorate them with and put them on. So anyone of any age is welcome to stay and help us decorate those trees. We've got hot cocoa, so we can enjoy some time as we decorate here at the church. So with that, I invite you to see our worship bulletin for the rest of the announcements and things that are happening. Christmas Eve times, we've got Gingerbread House making next week, family game night coming up. So see all of your bulletin for all those dates and times. So with that, I invite you to stand as we begin with confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who opens the heavens and draws us near with salvation. Amen. God is patient and merciful, desiring all to come to repentance. Trusting in the promise of grace, let us confess our sin. Everlasting God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Hear these words of assurance. God clothes you with the garments of salvation and covers you with robes of righteousness. In the tender compassion of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. God's covenant is eternal, and God's blessing rests upon us all. Amen. invite you to be seated, and we'd like to invite all the kids forward before you head off to Sunday school. Got some time together? And I want you to stay down here for a moment. So don't come all the way up. Stay right here. Right down here. Sit down by the baptismal font.
Why?
What? You'll find out. I know. You're a good Lutheran. You don't like change. All right. Move down to the bottom, because I'm going to sit up here, because I want to... Oh, perfect. And there's the offering plate for anyone. Right there. Awesome. I got a book to read.
What is it?
You'll find out.
Piggy Elephant.
Who likes Piggy and Elephant? Who's ever read a Piggy and Elephant book?
Me.
These are the best books. This is the grown book, all right? So, do you notice something different about church today?
Yeah.
What?
The Christmas tree.
We got the Christmas tree. And the candles.
Yeah.
Today, we are celebrating the first Sunday in Advent.
Yay!
Yes! Can we all do that? Can we go, yay!
Yay!
Who's ready for Christmas?
Yeah.
Can we hear a... Yay! But is
I have a big Christmas list.
You got a big Christmas list?
Who has
Who has a big Christmas list? Go yay! But hold on. Is it Christmas yet?
No.
No.
It's November,
but it's Advent, which means it's 4 weeks before Christmas. All right?
Yeah.
And
that means it's Xmas.
It's Christmas is in 4 weeks, and now, the 4 weeks before Christmas is Advent, so we need to celebrate a season of Advent, which is a season when we prepare for Christmas, and we got to do something called wait. So, who likes to wait?
Yeah.
One, two, three. Do you really like to wait? Is waiting fun?
No,
it's not. So, I'm going to read you a children's book.
Where did this come from?
10 cents. It'll go in the offering plate. It probably fell out of hope. So I want to read you a book, because during the season of Advent, we wait for Christmas, and we count down the days. And what we're going to do is we're going to light a candle each week, and you're going to help me. We're going to light a candle each week and count down the weeks until Christmas.
Okay.
All right? So, but waiting isn't easy, but as this book will tell us, it's worth it. It's called Waiting Isn't Easy with Piggy and Elephant. Waiting Isn't Easy by Mo Williams. Gerald! I call him Gerald because I have a friend named Gerald. So I know some people pronounce it Gerald, but in honor of my good friend, I call him Gerald. I have a surprise for you. Yay! What is it? The surprise is a surprise. Ooh. Is it big? Yes. Is it pretty? Yes. Can we share it? Yes. I cannot wait. You will have to. Wait? What? Why? The surprise is not here yet. So I will have to wait for it? Yes. Groan! Can you do that? I think we read this last Advent because it's the best Advent book. Can you say groan?
Groan!
You're perfect. You're going to have to do that later. Oh well, if I have to wait, I will wait. I am waiting. Waiting is not easy. Piggy, I want to see your surprise now. I'm sorry, Gerald, but we must wait. Ready? You're good at this. I'm done waiting. I do not think your surprise is worth all this waiting. I will not wait anymore.
Guess what?
Huh? Okay.
Oh,
well, you gotta wait for it. We gotta wait for it. Okay, I will wait some more. It will be worth it.
Okay.
Ready? Now go! When I turn the page, stop. There you go. Piggy, we have waited too long. It's getting dark. It's getting darker. Soon we will not be able to see each other. Soon we will not be able to see anything. We have wasted the whole day. Well, we have waited and waited and waited and waited and waited. And for what? For that? Look at the stars. The present is the stars. An elephant says, that was worth the wait. I know. So sometimes waiting is hard, and that's why we practice Advent. We practice Advent to practice our waiting and count down the days and the weeks until Christmas. All right?
Okay.
But we need to wait and be patient, because what did Elephant learn? What did Gerald learn? That waiting is worth it. All right? So let's pray. God, as we wait during the season of Advent and as we light these candles, may you remind us that it is worth it. As we await the birth of your Son, Jesus, and as we await for his return, remind us that our waiting is not in vain and that it is worth it with you. In Jesus, all God's children say,
amen.
Now don't go anywhere, because we're going to light this candle together. So congregation, I invite you to open your bulletins. All right? So have a seat. It's okay. You don't need one. And what we're going to do is we're going to sing verse 1 of Light One Candle, just verse 1, and then we're going to say a prayer. So... Let's sing verse 1 again as we light the candle. I need all the kindergartners and preschoolers. Come on up. Not easy to do, but did we do it?
Yeah.
We did it. All right. So we've got one candle lit, and we're going to light more each week. All right? So let's head to Sunday school. Go enjoy your time at Sunday school. And congregation, we will continue with our worship service.
Fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil. To make your name known, adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds that we did not expect, you came down. The mountains quaked at your presence from ages past. No one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, but those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry and considered, because you hid yourself and transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us, and you have delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father, we are the clay, and you are our pot. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquity forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Second reading is from 1 Corinthians. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "In those days, after the suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in heaven will be shaken, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and will gather his elect from the four winds, and from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. About that day or the hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. So beware and keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It's like a man going on a journey, when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight or at cockcrow or at dawn. Or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Lord.
You may be seated. So Friday night, my family and I were over at my cousin's house. He loves to decorate for Christmas, so my son Micah was helping him, and they invited us to stay for dinner. But then when we got home later that evening, I do what I normally do on evenings when I get home while tucking the kids in bed. I turn the TV on to the local sports, whether it be Mets or Islanders, Knicks, Giants, Jets, sometimes multiple games I have on at the same time if they overlap. I'll end my day with the game on in the background. It doesn't matter how poorly the teams are doing, which hopefully maybe we all know they are doing poorly, right? Doesn't matter if it was a full disaster of a season like the Mets, or we don't know who's playing quarterback for the Jets or Giants this week, I'll turn the game on to watch. But yet Friday night, I came home. And the first game I stumbled upon was the Knicks, who arguably are maybe one of the better teams playing in New York these days. And I saw they were losing to the Heat by over 20 with the fourth quarter just about to start. And I decided, you know what? I'm tired from yesterday and I'm tired from today. I just turned it off and called it a night. Well, maybe you can guess what happened, or maybe you watched the game, but they came back. They came back and only allowed the Heat to score 11 points in the fourth quarter, and they won that game 100-98. Comebacks in sporting events are exciting. Remember the Super Bowl when Atlanta was leading the Patriots by 25 and Tom Brady did his Tom Brady thing and found a way to victory? Or when the Chicago Cubs, having not won the World Series in 108 years, finally made it to the World Series and found themselves down 3-1 and came back to win? Or sorry, Yankee fans, but as a Met fan, I gotta throw in, remember when they were up 3-0 against the Red Sox? Do you remember how that turned out? Or I still remember the day, last December, being over at my sister's house celebrating a family birthday, and there was a football game on. It wasn't any big game. It wasn't teams I cared about. It was the Vikings and the Colts. But I still remember that game because the Vikings were down by 33 at the half and came back to win. It was exciting. So what's the purpose of sharing all these comeback sports stories? Hang in there, and I'll share. Because first I want to talk about Advent and how this ties in. Because I think it does. Because as we enter into this wonderful season of the church year called Advent, we find ourselves in this time of expectant waiting and preparation for the birth of Jesus. While this is a time of anticipation to celebrate this incredible gift that the world has already received, it's also time when we start off the first Sunday of Advent talking about the second coming of Jesus. The past few weeks in worship, our readings have focused on this final focus of Advent, the return of Christ. Jesus instilled parables about his disciples and landowners going away and trusting what they have into their care. Jesus has been preparing his disciples for his departure to carry his ministry until he returns. And when will that day be? When will Jesus return to make all things right and all things new, to restore creation to the way God intended it to be? Well, the text gives us a clear answer. No one knows. Not the angels, not the Son, not Jesus himself, no one on earth, but only the Father knows. Remember a number of years ago, there was an individual named Harold Camping. He was a preacher, and I think he had a radio show, and he predicted that Jesus was going to return to the world, and the world was going to end on May 21st, 2011. It didn't happen. So then he offered up another prediction. Something that coincided with a blood moon or something in the stars. And he said, the world is definitely going to end on October 7th, 2015. It didn't. But people believed those predictions. Some even quit their jobs to join a traveling caravan preaching about this coming judgment day before it arrived. Or it was supposed to arrive. I'm most confident in this text of scripture than any other. That we do not know the day or the hour. And it's not ours to know. So if we aren't to know the day or the time of Christ's return, what is it that Jesus wants us to know about his return? And this is what he says multiple times in today's text. Stay awake. Keep alert. 4 times Jesus says this to his disciples. Stay awake. Keep alert. Stay awake, I don't think, is meant to be taken literally in the sense of do not ever go to sleep, because then we'll just be a world full of grouchy, tired people. Jesus himself in the Gospel of Mark famously takes a nap on a fishing boat during a storm while the disciples are panicking in fear. No, stay awake is another way to be translated as stay alert, to be aware, to have a mindset or an attitude with that day approaching that we can live in anticipation of Christ's second coming with an alertness. To be alert to what is happening around us in this world. To be prepared for that day when Christ does return, that we don't know when it'll be. When I was a camp counselor, or when I was a pastor taking our youth group to camp, and I needed to wake them up for breakfast at 8 a.m., I would sing loudly at the top of my lungs, I'm alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. I'm alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. I'm alive, awake, alert. I'm alert, awake, alive. I'm alive, awake, alert, enthusiastic. I did that to my children this morning, and one responded, I'm not alive. But I think that's what Jesus is calling us to be and calling us to live, to be alive, awake, and enthusiastic about the mission and ministry of the kingdom of God. Not just the kingdom that Jesus will bring with him, but the kingdom of God that is already breaking forth around us in the present. I think about this call to stay awake and to stay alert. And I wonder if this call that Jesus is asking us is to be aware. To be aware of how God is already present around us and not just wait for someday in the future for God to arrive. To live like this, to be aware with a perception that God is already present here all around us, is what I believe Jesus has invited his disciples to do until his return. to be awake, to open our eyes, to not stand up and watch the sky for Jesus' return at an unknown time, but to look around and to see where God might be at work right before our very eyes in this world and join in that work. But Pastor, what about the Knicks game? I haven't forgotten about it. What does that have to do with any of this? Well, I think sports comebacks are a good metaphor for living this call to be alert and remain active to doing the work God has called us to do. Rather than just looking at when that final buzzer is going to go off and just waiting for it to go off and for Christ to return, we're to play like those teams trying to mount a comeback. They don't give up. They didn't get down on themselves and at halftime and say, well, it's over, so I can just give up. They didn't look at the scoreboard and the clock and just say, it's not worth it. Our call as disciples is not to watch the clock run out until the buzzer sounds and Jesus returns. No, we are to continue to grind it out in day-to-day ministry. Like the Knicks or every team who made those improbable comebacks, 1 point, one basket at a time, one moment, one mission at a time. The call to stay awake and stay alert is a call to ministry no matter how insurmountable the task may seem, taking notice of where God's presence is in the here and now, and participating with God to build a kingdom of love, peace, and joy in small ways here on earth until Jesus returns to complete that. So until that day, may we love and serve like Jesus. May we not give up on this task. This season, we've collected food and coats to hand out to those in need, even if the task is insurmountable, that we can't feed everyone and we can't clothe everyone from the cold. But yet we still do it because we see Christ in each person that receives those gifts. It's easy to see the world falling apart around us, but we are called to look for the beauty and the presence of God that is found in the midst of a world that is broken. And we are called to keep working in the ways of love and peace that Jesus taught us. The beauty of Advent and Christmas is not that Jesus came once a very long time ago. It isn't even that he promised to come again. But the beauty is that Christ and the presence of God breaks forth all around us. We live with a sense of alertness. So awake us from our spiritual slumber, O God, so that we may be prepared for the day of Christ's second coming. But may we also be more aware of God's presence in the here and now, all around us, and participate in it. Amen.
Thank you.
And in your bulletins, you'll find a service of holy baptism as we welcome Graham to be baptized this morning. So I forgot in the beginning to welcome you, Graham, and bring in all of your family and friends on this special day. So I invite you to follow along with the baptism liturgy. God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized into one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. So sponsors, I ask you, who presents this child to receive the sacrament of holy baptism? So now, called by the Holy Spirit and trusting in grace and love of God, I ask you, the parents, do you desire to have Graham Michael John baptized into Christ? If so, say, we do. So Dana and Wilbur, as you bring Graham to receive the gift of baptism, you are entrusted with responsibilities to live with him among God's faithful people, to bring him to the Word of God and the Holy Supper, to teach him the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments, to place in his hand the Holy Scriptures, and to nurture him in faith and prayer, so that he may learn to trust God, proclaim Christ through word and deed, and to care for others, the world, and the world God made, and to work for justice and peace. So do you promise to help Graham grow in the Christian faith and life? If so, say we do. Amanda and John, as sponsors, I ask you, do you promise to nurture Graham in Christian faith as you are empowered by God's Spirit, and to help him live in the covenant of baptism and in communion with the whole church? If so, say we do. So now, people of God, I ask you, do you promise to support Graham Michael John and pray for him in his new life in Christ? If so, enthusiastically say we do.
We do.
And now together, I ask us to profess our faith in Christ Jesus, to reject sin and confess the faith of the church. Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? Do you renounce the powers of this world that rebel against God?
I renounce them.
Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you away from God?
I renounce them.
Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
Wilbur, do you want to help me? Can you help me pour this in? Ready? Here, good job. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. And through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By the baptism of Jesus, his death and resurrection, you set us free from the power of sin and death and raise us to live with you. Pour out your Holy Spirit, the power of your living word, that those who are washed in these waters of baptism may be given new life. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, both now and forever. Amen. All right, Graham, now comes the fun part. All right. Let's bring Graham. Do you want to hold him? And let's just put his head here. Let's see. I'll get him. Let's see. You seem chill. Ready? Graham, Michael, John, I baptize you in the name of the Father, In the name of the Son. Ooh. And one more. In the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good job. Good job. So let us now proclaim that Graham Michael John is part of God's family of faith as we share together. You belong to Christ, in whom you have been baptized. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Thanks be to God. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit, you give your daughters and sons a new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Graham, Michael, John, with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, the Spirit of joy in your presence, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. Now, Graham, Michael, John, child of God, you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. Amen. And we got a gift for you, Graham. We have a candle. Got it. There you go.
I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will have a light of life. Let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and glorify you.
Amen. And Graham, let's see if you'll come with me, because I want to introduce you. Okay. I think you said okay. I want to introduce you to your family. This is your family in Christ and your family in God, and you are now part of a much bigger family. Say hi to them. Can you wave to all of them and let go of my beard? Yeah? I know. Yeah? Let us welcome Graham, child of God. And before we let you go, we have some more gifts for you. You're doing great. Yeah. See, I bring you back. We got some more gifts for you. Right behind who? We've got certificates for everybody, so you can look and see whose is whose. But this is an awesome book that your family can read to you to remind us, remind you about your baptism day. And Wilbur and Dana, this is a book for you of prayers. As your kids grow older, there are some wonderful prayers in here to help teach them about faith, how to welcome a new pet. I believe there's when you're joy, when you're upset, when you're sick, before surgery. Here's a Christmas prayer, and I believe there's one when you finally give him the car keys. That's always my joke, because, you know, some prayers are more important than others. No. What? Am I done? I'm done. So let us once again welcome Graham to the family of God. And we'll continue with our prayers of the church. Good job.
With hope and expectation, we offer our prayers to the church, the world, and all who wait God's day of restoration. All your church, all your fellowship, your faithful people to live with hope and compassion, especially those who serve as missionaries near and far. Center us in your promise to come among us and make all things new. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
All creation sickens your presence, O God. The vastness of the cosmos, the turbid seas, and the living things that both rest and flourish. Rekindle our commitment to care for the earth. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Let the nations tremble at your holy presence, and justice and liberation prevail in all corners of the earth. Restore peace to nations in conflict, teach righteousness to corrupt leaders and systems, bring stability to areas facing uncertain futures. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Enrich the spirit of all who feel hopeless, fearful, or despairing. Stay close to those who await healing or relief. deliver all in need, merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Be with those who keep awake at night, nurses working overnight shifts, caregivers of newborn and aging adults, star babies, those who are anxious or those who are trapped. Reveal to all that the dark can be a place of calm and comfort filled with your presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
You have sent down your angels and gathered your faithful people in every time and place. Call them into one fellowship of saints. Bless the witness of those who dwell in your eternal presence. Merciful God,
receive our prayer.
Listen to these and our prayers, O God of hosts, and restore us with your great and everlasting mercy.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share God's peace as you're comfortable with those around you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Hey, great job. Thanks for your help. Peace be with you. We'll continue with our offering as our choir shares their anthem for today.
that springs up from the earth. Receive and bless these gifts of your own bounty. Let them be a sign of your steadfast love and faithfulness to all people through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You comforted your people with the promise of the Redeemer, through whom you will also make all things new in the day when he comes to judge the world in righteousness. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And then again after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "Take this, each of you, and drink, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sins." Again, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And let us together now pray how Jesus first taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Invite you to be seated. And at this time, as we're about to celebrate this holy meal, first and foremost, please know that you all are welcome to come forward and receive, whether you're a guest here today or you're a member of this congregation. As you come forward and receive the host, there'll be the assistants with trays of grape juice standing next to tables with trays. No, they'll have trays of wine standing next to trays of grape juice. So whichever you prefer, you're welcome to take. And as you head back down the side pews, there are baskets to place your empty cups. So there is a place for you at the banquet. Come and feast at Jesus' table.
Thanks be
to God. Body of Christ given for you. invite you to stand and receive this blessing. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Generous God, in bread and cup you have revealed your glory for all people to see together. Nourished by this meal, send us out to proclaim your good news of liberation and release, brought to birth in Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Amen.
Just a quick note about our recessional hymn. Once again, it is O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, but we will sing the last four verses printed at the bottom. So 5-8, yes. So now may the God of peace bless you, the love of Christ sustain you in hope, and the anointing of the Spirit remain upon you now and forever. Amen. Amen. Just a quick announcement, remember the Christmas trees have gifts to purchase if you are out shopping or you would go out shopping this week, and to get them, there's still 37 gifts left, so we love to make sure all those families get gifts. You don't have to buy all the gifts on the list, you can buy a couple, one or two, or depending on the cost of them. So when do they have to be in? December 4th, so soon. I can guarantee you Amazon will get you the package tomorrow if you order it online. Alright, so 37 gifts, please grab them off the tree on the right. And now.
Thank you. Go in peace and keep awake.
Thanks be to God.